We turn in the Word of God now to the Gospel according to John. We turn to chapter 6. To pick up the flow of the account we have in John, we'll look back to verse 23 and begin our reading there. It's after the feeding of the 5,000. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into their boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give, that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on give us this bread." And then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." It must have been really amazing to be present at the feeding of the 5,000, to witness the miracle that Jesus performed, to see the fish, the loaves multiplied to feed such a crowd. And remember, it was 5,000 men. If we take in women and children, you might well have been able to double that number. People were awestruck by what they witnessed. And they began to wonder, what does it all mean? What's the significance of these events? And the minds of many would go to the manna in the wilderness, because there was a tradition that when the Messiah would come, he would again feed God's people miraculously. And so, as it were, the wheels were starting to turn. People were wondering, is this the Messiah? Could it be? He's fed people in the wilderness miraculously. Is it another Moses? Has the Messiah finally come? And they're wondering, they're questioning, they're trying to understand who Jesus is, what exactly he has come to do. And after the feeding of the 5,000, as you see in the middle of John 6, they pursue Jesus around the lake, they get into boats, they come, they want to know more, they want to ask him questions. They want really to get to the heart of what Jesus is about. And yet their minds are focused on the material, on the miracle of the loaves and fishes, the feeding of people's bodies. And really, they challenge Jesus to prove who he is. Verse 30 and 31, they're asking the question, what miraculous sign will you give that we may see it and believe you? It's a challenge to Jesus to prove himself, to show who he really is. And the Lord turns their thoughts from the material and the physical bread that they would put in their mouths to nourish their bodies, to his true identity and to spiritual realities, to spiritual food for their souls, to eternal life. And as we begin this week a study of the I Am sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to focus our thoughts on John 6 and verse 35. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. I am the bread of life. And that is what is depicted in the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. The feeding of the body is to point those who have eyes to see it to the spiritual food that is there before them in the person of Jesus himself. I am the bread of life. And as we think of the bread of life, we see first of all it is bread that came down from heaven. Bread that came down from heaven. And this takes us to the very heart of Jesus' identity. The thoughts of the Jews really are earthbound. They don't see beyond the food that Jesus had provided for them to eat there on the hillside in Galilee. They can't see beyond Moses and the physical manna that was provided for them back in the days of the Exodus. They don't see beyond, they don't see above that physical, material level. And so inevitably they're going to struggle with who Jesus is and what he has come to do. Indeed, Jesus' words rebuke their lack of spirituality. Verse 33, he says to them, "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." It is not material bread. It is not food you'll put in your mouth that is the issue. The bread is a person. It is Jesus himself. And as he speaks of himself in this language, he is telling them of his origins, not in a stable in Bethlehem, but in heaven with God as the eternal Son of God. His supernatural origins. He has come from another world. And the Jews are mystified by this. They say in verse 42, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? They're scratching their heads. They know this man. They've seen him grow up. They know his family. What's he talking about? I came down from heaven. They haven't grasped the reality of Jesus' identity, his heavenly origins, his supernatural nature as the Son of God. He's come down from heaven. And it's a frequent thought in Jesus' teaching, especially as John records it, that he has come into the world to fulfill a mission given to him by his Father. Jesus has a very powerful sense of a mission that he must fulfill, a mission assigned to him by his Father in heaven. And according to his human nature, he is submissive and obedient to his Father's will. That is why he often speaks of obeying his Father. He's been given this assignment, this mission to fulfill. But when he speaks that language of obedience and of submission to his Father, it does not mean that in any sense he's inferior to God the Father. It's not that somehow he is God in a lesser sense than the Father. He's the one described in John 1:1 as the Word who was with God and who was God. And here we are touching on the mystery of the Trinity. That the one who was walking around in Galilee, who was feeding people miraculously, who was raising the dead, who was healing the sick, one who had grown up among them, who had family there, at the same time, he is the eternal Son of God, equal with the Father. We needn't be surprised that you struggle to take this in and to grasp it. It is amazing that this one speaking to them, one they could touch, one they could hear, one they could see, was God eternal in human flesh. Emmanuel, as we thought about a couple of weeks ago, God with us. The bread of life is divine. It's from God, indeed. It is God the Son. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And we might not immediately notice anything particularly significant about the words he uses, I am. But his hearers would certainly notice, I am, echoes Exodus, the burning bush, Exodus 3. Moses is being sent to Egypt. And Moses asks God, who will I say has sent me? They'll want to know your name. And what is God's answer? I am who I am. I am. To the Jews steeped in the Old Testament, there'd be very, very clear echoes of the name God himself used to Moses in the wilderness. I am. And here's this carpenter from Nazareth standing up among them saying, I am. God speaks. The very words that Jesus uses speak of his deity. He is the I am, the eternal God. He's not a mere man. I am. And it's emphatic. I am. It's as if he doubles the I am. The focus is on himself in a way that no reputable human teacher would ever dare to draw all the attention to himself, all the focus on himself. I am the bread of life. Give attention to me. Believe in me. Jesus is the focus. The focus of their attention. He must be. It is a claim to deity. It is a claim to be God. I am. He's the bread of life. He is, he says in verse 32, the true bread. Genuine, without any deception, without any falsity, utterly trustworthy. The one in whom men and women can put absolute faith. And he will never fail them. There are many teachers, some true, some not. But he is the genuine, the true, the absolutely trustworthy bread that men and women need. Here God himself speaks, God walking among men here on this earth for salvation. He is the bread who came down from heaven. I am the bread of life. Bread who came down from heaven. Secondly, bread that imparts eternal life. Bread that imparts eternal life. Because not only is Jesus the bread of life, not only is he himself living with eternal, unending life, but to those who receive him, he gives eternal life. He not only has life in himself, he gives life. And so he's able to say in verse 58, your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. What a sharp contrast. Those who ate the manna in the wilderness, they may have lived many years, but every one of them died. Manna could not keep them alive eternally. But all who eat the bread of life will live forever. The manna had no value beyond this life or this world. But in Jesus there is bread that lasts eternally. And what he gives lasts eternally. Eternal life that Jesus gives to men and women who trust in him is the life of the age to come. It's the life of heaven available here on earth right now. Not simply something you get when you die. But eternal life is for today. It's for the here and now. The stress isn't on the quantity of life, yes indeed. It will go on everlastingly. It will never come to an end. And that is wonderful, and that is precious. But there's more to it than that. It's not simply the quantity, but it's also the quality. The life of the age to come. Eternal life is life lived in fellowship with God. Life empowered by the Holy Spirit. This is life as God created you and me to live it. This is what we are for. Life in fellowship with God. Eternal life. Jesus will describe it in chapter 17 and verse 3 in that great high priestly prayer. He says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's eternal life. Not simply life that will never end, though it never will, but life in fellowship with God. Eternal life is a matter of relationship to the living God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the bread of life offers us. Eternal life. Life as we were made to live it. And you will find it nowhere else. Bread that imparts eternal life. And yet there's a paradox here. There's a puzzle. Because this bread of life becomes available to people like us through death. The bread of life becomes available to us as a result of a death. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The bread of life must die so that we can feed on him and live. That's the heart of the gospel. That is the core of what Jesus came to do. He must die so that we may live. The bread of life must die on the cross so that we have eternal life. And so in verse 51, Jesus says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And that is how sinners like us, dead in our sins, without hope and without God in the world, that's how we may have life. Through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the death of the bread of life. And of course, the Jews who are listening are struggling to grasp this and to make sense of it. What does he mean, flesh that he will give for the life of the world? And it will only be at Calvary, at the cross, that this will make sense. It's only there it will be clear how he gives his flesh for the life of the world. It is his atoning death in the place of sinners of all kinds. Sinners from all backgrounds and races and languages. Sinners who have committed all kinds of sins. And here is the death of Christ that is able to deal with all of those sins and to cover them over and bring God's forgiveness and to bring new life by the death and the resurrection of the bread of life. Eternal life is available for us, for any sinner who comes to Jesus. But it is only by his death. Had he come and performed miracles, fed millions, raised the dead, taught wonderful things, if that was all that he had done, there would be no salvation for any of us. His death is essential. The bread of life must die if we are to have salvation, if we are to have eternal life. By his death and his triumphant resurrection, eternal life is available for those who by nature are spiritually dead. It's there in Christ. And that's why all the focus is on him. I am the bread of life. Nobody else is. Nobody else can give it to us. Christ and Christ alone is the bread. He and he alone gives salvation. There is no other way. And in a pluralist culture as ours is and is becoming more and more, where the politically correct thing to say is that all religions lead us to God, all religions are acceptable, we dare not be ashamed of this truth. Jesus Christ alone is the bread of life. And there is no life available anywhere else. There is no other way. There is no other bread. He alone is the bread that imparts eternal life. And if you haven't come to Jesus, if you haven't eaten this bread, then the Bible tells you you are not living. You're still in your sins. You're still dead in relation to God. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Bread that came down from heaven. Bread that imparts eternal life. So that even here, as we sit in this church, as we go about our daily lives, even now, we have a foretaste of what it will be like when Christ comes back again. And we have this eternal life in all its fullness and richness. No more sin to spoil it. A foretaste of heaven right here, right now, in the bread of life. Bread that imparts eternal life. Then thirdly, we see that the bread of life is bread that satisfies hunger. Bread that satisfies hunger. If you have a real hunger on you, if you're really ravenous, there are few things more satisfying than a sandwich with fresh, good bread. Not the candy floss stuff, the real, good, solid, healthy bread. Maybe still warm from the oven. And you know what a physical pleasure it is and the satisfaction it is. It's beautiful. If that's true with bread for the body, can we begin to imagine what it is like when we eat the bread of life and our souls are fed? Augustine rightly said that God has made us for himself, and our hearts are restless till they find rest in him. And that really is the case. People all around us spiritually are restless. They can find no peace, no inner satisfaction, and they're looking for it everywhere. That's what drives people. And they're looking for it in material things, in possessions, in financial security. They're looking for it perhaps in various religions or philosophies. Some are looking for it in drugs of various kinds, prescription and otherwise. Some are looking for it, make no mistake, in church activities. Because we can engage in activities of the church for purely selfish reasons, to find purpose and satisfaction. But we find satisfaction in none of these things. None of them. Without God at the heart of life, we are rootless. We are strangers in an alien world. Because we're living in God's world without God. And we can't be at home. We never will be. And yet, so ironic this, Jesus says to the Pharisees in John 5:40, "You won't come to me that you might live." That's true of people all around us. They're searching, they're restless. They will look everywhere except the one place where they find the answer to their hunger and their thirst. They don't want Jesus. The only answer. And yet it's in the bread of life alone that we find fulfillment and satisfaction for our souls. Whoever comes to me, Jesus says, will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. And he couldn't put it more clearly if he underlined it and marked it out in highlighter. It is as strong and as emphatic as it possibly could be in the original Greek. It's a double negative. Now, in English, double negatives cancel out. In Greek, they reinforce. Literally, Jesus says, "Whoever believes in me will not never be thirsty." Never. Cannot possibly be. Jesus makes it as strong and as emphatic as it possibly could be. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never, ever be thirsty or hungry. He will satisfy your soul. It's all there in Jesus. Now that doesn't mean, of course, you eat once when you're converted and that does you for the rest of your life. You drink once and that's all you ever need. It'd be as ridiculous as suggesting if you'd one good meal, that'll do you for the rest of your life. That'd be utterly foolish. We know that. And yet it seems sometimes Christians try to do that. They try to have a big meal now and again. And think that will last them for weeks, for months, for years. So foolish. We need to keep coming to the Lord. We need to keep eating. We need to keep drinking. And then we'll find satisfaction. There in Jesus is everything we ever need. We're promised in Philippians 4:19, God will supply all our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The bread's there. Why would you have anything else? Why would you eat rubbish that'll leave you hungry in another 10 minutes' time? Why would you eat what isn't going to nourish your soul? Why would you bother with substitutes when you can have the real thing? And there it is in Jesus, the bread of life. There is bread that satisfies. Satisfies hunger as nothing and no one else ever can. It's all there in Jesus. Every need you'll ever have. Every situation you'll ever face, the provision's there. Keep coming. Keep coming and eating. Keep coming and drinking. Are you doing that? Are you eating and drinking? Are you finding satisfaction? Are you finding all you need in Jesus? It's all there. I am the bread of life. Bread that came down from heaven. Bread that imparts eternal life. Bread that satisfies hunger. And bread, finally, that's received by faith. Bread that is received by faith. The fact that Jesus is the bread of life does not automatically mean that you are feeding on him and that you have eternal life. Not so. The bread of life belongs only to those who come in faith to Jesus. He says, "He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty." There are many, many people who are hungry and thirsty spiritually, and the reason is they have never come to Jesus, and they've never believed in Jesus, and they will continue to be hungry and thirsty eternally. We need to come to Jesus. How do we do that? We come in repentance. We come in faith. We come putting our trust entirely in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the one worthy of our trust, our faith. He puts it very vividly. Verse 53. "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." That's a sobering truth. It's a solemn fact. We need to understand it. We need to believe it. If we do not eat the flesh spiritually of the Lord Jesus, if we do not drink his blood, we have no life. It's a very vivid picture, isn't it? It led indeed in the days of the early church to some of the enemies of Christians claiming these Christians are cannibals. They're eating the flesh of their God. They're drinking his blood. How revolting. But we know, of course, it's not physical. It's not material. We feed spiritually on Jesus as we come in faith. As we come in repentance, we entrust ourselves to him. And there are only the two alternatives. Either we have life through trusting in Jesus, or we remain in spiritual death without him. We receive the bread of life by faith alone. Jesus makes it clear to us. Verse 47, "He who believes in me has everlasting life." Nothing we have in ourselves is of any value for salvation. Nothing we can offer, no amount of obedience, no amount of good works, church going or Christian activity, none of those things can contribute to salvation. We simply come to Jesus and believe on him. And even that faith is a gift of God. God must draw us by his Spirit. Jesus speaks about being drawn to God by the Holy Spirit. He speaks of it in verse 37, for example. "All the Father gives me will come to me. And him who comes to me I will never, ever cast out." All of grace from start to finish. But we have the duty, you have the duty to come to Jesus. to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to receive with your empty hands the bread of life, who'll give you eternal life. Have you believed in Christ? Have you received that bread? Are you feeding on Jesus and finding satisfaction? I am the bread of life. Bread that came down from heaven. Bread that imparts eternal life. Bread that satisfies hunger. Bread that's received by faith. May we be feeding on the bread of life and finding satisfaction and a foretaste of heaven through faith in Jesus.